What do you like better as an RB2, a $5,200 Trayvon Van or a $3,600 Keenan LaFrance?
I'm in the van. I'm driving that van to no end. I'm going on a road trip.
I have no follow-up to that ridiculous comment. Labor Day weekend has come and gone, and now we are really into the stretch drive of the 2018 CFL season, but there's still lots of movement and lots to be won in CFL fantasy. Welcome to week 13, and welcome to the CFL Fantasy Podcast. Pat Steinberg, Hannah Nordman, Jeff Creever along with you. Don't forget to get your lineups in cflfantasy.tsn.ca. Your season-long winner still getting $10,000 when it's all said and done. We're getting closer and closer, though, to that season-long winner. So still $10,000 up for grabs and a really exciting and action-packed Labor Day weekend. But what a follow-up we have to Mark's Labor Day weekend as we go into the traditional rematches in three of the four matchups and a Saturday triple header. And I think you need to perk up in your seats a little bit, perhaps write it down, because we're talking about $10,000 to the winner all year long. But this Saturday, 9+ hours of football, we've got an extra opportunity for you to win some money. $500 cash on the line for the Saturday Triple Play Fantasy Weekend. If you end up winning the day on Saturday, we'll have leaderboard updates all day long. We're going to give you an extra $500. It is a triple header to follow up Labor Day. Jeff, Hannah, you guys are in Toronto. You're in the CFL offices. You're busy every weekend because you've always got three or four games to be following. But three games in one day. It's going to be awesome to watch. It's going to be awesome to play CFL fantasy. Maybe win $500. But on top of that, you guys have got to take in all three games in the CFL offices. So what does Saturday look like for you two?
Hold on here. You know what? You're putting me to work already. You know, I don't have to work at every CFL game that happens. I know what I'm doing on Saturday, and I'm going to be sitting on my couch taking in this triple header. Hannah, do you have to work?
Oh yeah, of course I do. What kind of question is that?
Oh right, Hannah works every weekend.
On a Saturday, yes, I will be at work.
Listen, I do have to work sometimes, but yeah, I'm going to be taking in these games. I may go to the Argos Ticats game, which is Saturday afternoon, which I can obviously be part of that experience. But it just reminds me, I remember in university, it was like every Sunday was just a beautiful time because it would be wake up in the morning. Sometimes maybe you were a little bit hungover, get some breakfast in you, start to feel a little bit better. Go get your ProLine ticket and sit down in your sweatpants and watch football all day. In the house with the guys, you know, that was the thing to do, and it was great. And sitting around watching CFL football all day with the fantasy contest going on, three games, knowing that your lineup and the outcome of what's going to happen is all going to unfold on that day with the $500 on the line, that's really cool. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds way more fun than what I'm doing. Man, I'm going to have to get my multitask on because I'm not going to be in the CFL offices. I'm going to be doing a multi-sport shift here. So I generally find a TV somewhere in the newsroom that I work in, and I dibs it.
Might be a good time to come down with something, though. You know, a little cold or calling sick.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm covering the
you look
the
a little
Argos.
Sick today. I don't know.
I'm a little bit tired. It's been a long it was a long weekend for everyone. It was a long weekend for me. It's a little bit different. Lots of work. Lots of different jobs. I'm actually covering the Argos Ticats game on Saturday. Going to be reading some highlights for that on the news. So that one I'll definitely have a close eye on. The other ones I'm going to have to work into my watching / working schedule.
Pat, you have got the Calgary game on Saturday, but that's in Edmonton. Are you making the trip there? Is this going to be a on the couch watching football type of day? And please tell me you will at least have pants on in the process.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I would much rather hear about Hannah's weekend than Jeff in sweatpants and being hungover with a bunch of dudes. I don't need to. It's just
those
not
are the
an
old
image
days.
That I'm, yeah, I feel like
I'm an adult
like,
now.
You're still half a frat boy, so I'm an adult now.
I have my own place. I just bought a couch. I even bought an area rug. I spent 15 minutes reading an article about area rug do's and don'ts. I'm an adult now. I can say that. No more hangovers for me. But there's still some time to sit around in a comfortable yet classy pair of sweatpants and enjoy football for the day. Triple header.
The expensive kind, like Roots or Lululemon.
Yeah, well, there you go. Adidas, just keep it,
sure.
keeping the brand on point. And you know what? I might even cook up some classy adult food. You know, none of the mac and cheese and ketchup going on.
Well, congratulations to graduating to adulthood, or congratulations for graduating to adulthood, Jeff. That's very, very exciting. Yeah, I'll probably be watching in a similar fashion, just chilling out. They start at 11 o'clock Calgary time and go all the way through the Stampeders and Eskimos, which kick off at 5 o'clock Calgary time. So that it'll be a fun Saturday, and it's a pretty perfect weekend because starting on Thursday with the NFL season getting going, we've got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday football for football freaks like the three of us. It's a pretty amazing weekend. So I'm not expecting to be overly productive this weekend, and I'm not expecting to have much social interaction, which I don't really know if it's all that different from a regular weekend. It'll just be multiplied by 10. So I'm looking forward to it. And hey, the theme of this week's CFL Fantasy Podcast is all about revenge, because the Argos, the Eskimos, and the Blue Bombers all looking for payback this week after they fell in their Labor Day weekend games. And you know who else is looking for revenge? Not me, because there's something to be said. There is something to be said about putting your money where your mouth is, answering the bell, and putting up instead of shutting up. And I am very proud to announce that for the first time in like 6 weeks, somebody other than Jeff Creever ended up winning the week of the three of us. Creever ends up with 100 points again, so congratulations. His streak continues.
Thank you, thank you.
That puts him in second place, 100.3. 120.3 was the highest point total for the three of us this week. Proud to say that was mine.
Ding, ding, ding.
Very excited about that.
Music.
And unfortunately, Jeff, congratulations. I'll pat myself on the back. Neither of us will have to be changing our Twitter avatar picture. But Hannah, I hate to do it. I hate it. But at 68.7 points, It's time to pay up on the bet that we all made last week.
Well, let's get creative, guys. I'm looking forward to seeing what you make for me. I will wear it proudly on my Twitter
account.
We'll have to
put our heads together here, Pat, and come up with something. And you get the final say because you won the week. By the way, very, very eloquently put. I like the, you act like you've been there before. You're a better winner than I am, because maybe it's partially because I write the rundown every week. I don't know what you would have written, but Hannah's wearing her Blake Wheeler Winnipeg Jets t-shirt right now, and I know she's got those Winnipeg roots, so she shows her weaknesses pretty well on her sleeve. So maybe there's something with a watermelon involved or a little bit of green involved in that that Twitter profile pic that I know would cut pretty deep.
You know how to get me. It just depends how good your guys' Photoshop skills are, because that's going to be the real test.
Yeah. That's the beauty of working in the CFL head office.
Oh,
we have the resources. We have the resources.
You're getting
here.
This thing commissioned.
We're going to make you look good, Hannah. It's going to be quite the display.
Well,
and you're going to have to live with it for a week, a full week. We'll see. We'll let you cut it off next on Monday after the games.
No, it's a full week. I'll own it. And it was a hard week for me. I worked that Calgary game where I put a lot of my faith in that game as far as points go, and it was just one injury after another. My two highest priced players both went down with injuries. It was hard to watch. It was a slow crash and burn. And I knew this was coming, so do your worst, boys.
I think that something with a Saskatchewan Rough Riders spin on it or a Vegas Golden Knights spin on it, something like that. There's a couple of different ways that we could go with it. If we could Photoshop some sort of jersey onto Hannah somehow, I think that would be maybe the way to go. I think that we've got some good ideas. It's a good start to our brainstorming session.
Once that's on the internet, that lives forever. That lives forever once it's at. You should see her face right now, Pat. Oh, when you said
you can pinpoint the moment my heart broke when you were talking about these options, but let's see it. Hey, do your worst.
There's something to be said for owning it when you end up losing, and I respect you for that, Hannah.
Yeah.
Because it was a tough week because injuries were a big part of that Labor Day Classic game in Calgary, because we saw all kinds of big names go down. As we recap what happened on Mark's Labor Day weekend, week 12, from a fantasy perspective, the top four players of the week all came from the final game of the weekend, and they all came wearing black and yellow because it was Brandon Banks, Alex Green, Luke Tasker, and Jeremiah Mazzoli. All of the Hamilton Tiger Cats who ended up being the top four players in fantasy football this week. Banks, 37 points. Green, 31. Tasker and Masoli each had 28. A couple of other receivers had 20-plus point efforts. Calgary's Davaris Daniels, Edmonton's Duke Williams each had a touchdown and went over 100 yards. Hey, Antonio Pipkin continues to provide good value at quarterback. Wasn't the prettiest of displays, wasn't the prettiest football game to kick off Labor Day weekend, but 19 points for Pipkin at just $6,000 as Montreal won their second straight over Ottawa. Who is Kyren Moore? He was the steal of the week, 15.6 points. He came in at $2,500, had a small handful of catches, scored in a punt return touchdown as well. He gave you incredible value this week. And then there was the bus. No one let fantasy players down in week 12 more than Trevor Harris. He was the most selected player in week 12, but ended up finishing with just 9.6 points in that disappointing showing against Montreal. Those who paid big for Mike Riley, he continues to carry that $14,000 price tag, rather. Disappointing, just 16 points against the Stamps. And then we had those two injuries that were mentioned there by Hannah, because Darrell Walker left early for the Eskimos in the Labor Day Classic at McMahon Stadium. He didn't record a point. Kamar Jordan had a few points. He left that game as well. Does not look promising in terms of Kamar Jordan's return for the Stampeders. And also Jalen Saunders left the game for Hamilton against Toronto. So a lot of injuries in Week 12 as well, specifically on Labor Day in those two games with Calgary, Edmonton, Toronto, and Hamilton involved.
Pat, that had a bit of a news angle to it, unfortunately, this week. I think you're applying for Hannah's news reading job here with the fantasy flash.
Whoa.
What did you think? How did I do? Did I do well, or I still think Hannah
did well? But I like Hannah there.
I'd like to keep that job.
She's happy there. We won't shake things up, but we'll keep you in mind in case something happens.
Okay.
It sucks when those guys go down, because not only are they big names and fun to watch, but when they're having great seasons like that, a guy like Kamar Jordan and the type of season that he was having coming off a record-setting game, the sky is the limit, and you never know what they're going to accomplish in a season. And now, if they're out for a while, you're left to wonder sort of what could have been. And then from a fantasy perspective, if you have one of those guys on your lineup and you get dinged with a big zero on a really expensive player, that's really tough to recover from. And there is an element of luck in this game involved, but that's a really unlucky or lucky part of it, because you just have no control over this. It could have been the best pick of the week, and maybe he was bound to do great things, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt. So best wishes to those guys, and hopefully those aren't serious injuries. They didn't look too good. My fingers are definitely crossed for them, that we can see them on the field, because they're some of the biggest stars in the CFL. Speaking of big stars, Trevor Harris going into last game with three games averaging over 400 passing yards, looked like he was becoming, again, that dominant week-to-week fantasy star that you could rely on every week. And he had an A-plus matchup against the Montreal Alouettes, a defense that prior to a win over the Argos had given up 500-plus yards in four straight games. They were the first defense on record to have ever done that before. And all of a sudden, now the Alouettes defense pressing a little bit, and Trevor Harris, very little to show for being the most picked player, Pat, as you mentioned, in the weekly recap. Guys, what do we make of Trevor Harris? I like him again this week in a matchup with BC. The matchup looks good. The weapons that Harris has got look good. You got to think that that's a potential to put up some big numbers on not a crazy Mike Riley type salary. Do we trust it this week?
I'm not ready to say that I'm leery of Trevor Harris. I know that the Red Blacks did not put up very many points in that game against Montreal. And look, that happens sometimes. We're talking about one of the most unpredictable leagues in pro sports in the Canadian Football League. And sometimes we see a 2-8 team go out and take out the top team in the division and give Montreal credit. You know, defensively they played well. Pipkin had a good game. They were able to get some good performances, score the points they needed, and they were able to stymie the Red Blacks. But I'm not ready to sit here and say this is a sign of things to come. It looks like a favorable matchup once again in the past game for the Red Blacks when they go up against BC on Friday night. I absolutely would be looking at Harris as one of the top quarterback options once again. So, Hannah, I know that it was not a great showing and you really liked the matchup against Montreal, but I still think he's a guy that you can count on a fairly regular basis to put up points. He has been a fairly consistent player, especially recently. And I think Ottawa is going to be looking in a big way to bounce back because all of a sudden they've got Hamilton very hot on their tail. So I think Harris is still a very good buy for week 13. Where are you on Harris?
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is the norm. I don't know if this is the week that I'd want to jump back in on him, though. I agree they're going to have a chip on their shoulder, but man, Montreal holding them without a touchdown, pretty impressive on the Montreal side. Now they're up against a rested BC team. We've got all of those rivalry matchups around him. Rematch, Hamilton, Toronto, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Calgary, Edmonton. I think the quarterback options are too tantalizing in those rematches. This is not a play I'm looking at this week, but that doesn't mean, like you, that I'm counting him out from him being a reliable fantasy option.
Yeah, don't forget Micah Awe making his debut for the Lions as well. That's a defense that I know we call them a favorable matchup, and we have throughout the season, but that defense has outperformed everyone's expectations so far. Mark Washington's done a great job, and like Hannah, great point, like Hannah alluded to, them coming off of the bye. Trevor Harris has bounced back well this year, and that's the other side of this. He has bounced back well, and the interesting part of it with him is, like we've said, he doesn't have the consistency. It's either been feast or famine with Trevor Harris. 10 games this year that they've played, 6 of them being either at or around that 20-point mark. The 4 where he hasn't flourished, he's been 10 points or less. 10 points or fewer, down at one point that game against Calgary to minus 0.3 points. So it's either feast or famine, and if I had to pick one, I would say after a bad week, that's been the thing with Trevor Harris. He hasn't put two of those bad performances back-to-back. After a bad performance, he's usually followed it up with a good performance, and you've got the weapons that they have there with Ellingson, with Deontay Spencer, with Brad Sinopoli. RJ Harris has been good. I think the Ottawa Redblacks should be in for a bounce back, and with Harris's salary this week, I like it. I came out and sort of very confidently, almost arrogantly, you guys would probably say arrogantly, stated that Trevor Harris and Jeremiah Mazzoli would be the top two scoring quarterbacks last week. I said that. I'll own up to it because they weren't. Trevor Harris certainly wasn't. But those are the two guys, again, with the matchups this week that I really like. I really like Jeremiah Mazzoli and Trevor Harris this week.
It was a tough week for quarterbacks. Yep. Only Mazzoli got over that 20-point plateau. Pipkin was second. Nice pick on that.
James Franklin was one of the top scoring quarterbacks.
Yeah.
A backup.
It was a tough one.
It's one of those weeks where I think you're going to have to look at matchups, and you're going to have to maybe ride a little bit of your gut feeling when it comes to quarterbacks, because I think there's some interesting matchups. I'm with you. Mazzoli and Harris, Jeff, they pop off the page in terms of matchups to me, but I wonder a little bit about Caleros, because he showed me some more promising signs, especially in the second half of that win over Winnipeg, and I wonder what that Calgary-Edmonton game is going to be like, and Bo Levi Mitchell's a really interesting guy to talk about, just because of how deflating that loss loss on Monday must have been from an Edmonton perspective. So there's some really interesting quarterback questions, but I'm certainly not ready to back away from Trevor Harris and say that, no, he's a bad fantasy option. I know that it was rough last week, but I still think he's a guy you should be very much thinking about in Week 13. Of course, Ottawa and BC kick off Week 13, the Labor Day rematch weekend. Ottawa, BC, the one game that isn't a rematch from Labor Day. It goes on Friday night, and then, of course, our triple play on Saturday with three games starting at 1 o'clock Eastern. Okay, it is Week 13. We are into the stretch drive. Hannah, officially after Labor Day, it is all about the drive towards the postseason. What do we need to know about our Week 13 in fantasy football? It's time for the Fantasy Flash.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
All right, so far, not good news on Kamar Jordan. The Stamps receiver spent the night in hospital and is expected to need surgery. Chris Rainey could be out of the Lions lineup, but not because he's injured. According to Lowell Ulrich, the team is looking at shaking things up with Trayvon Vann. Still in BC, while Manny Arsenault is out, recently signed Anthony Parker is expected to make his Lions debut. Also back on the field this week is Ricky Collins. Keep an eye this week on injured receivers Darrell Walker and Jalen Saunders. It doesn't seem like either will be in the lineup for Week 13, with the possibility of lengthy absences for one or the other. Multiple sources reporting Andrew Harris is not at practice today. His status for Week 13 is questionable. And a reminder, Mark Trestman has said the plan was Daron Carter would not play this week or last, but keep your eye on that situation as plans have changed before.
So, wow, that is a bombshell with Andrew Harris, and I was not expecting that. Not a running back that was going to be on my radar this week. But if he doesn't play, that certainly changes things from a Winnipeg, Saskatchewan perspective there. And Harris's price tag was coming down a little bit. He was over 10,000 for the last month, and now he's down to just over 9,000. Guys, what does this Andrew Harris thing mean for that Saskatchewan-Winnipeg game? I mean, the Bombers' offense, whether it's Darvin Adams, Matt Nichols, their success is predicated on Andrew Harris moving the football and being a focal point of that unit. If Harris doesn't play this weekend, I assume that means it's Keenan LaFrance going in. I assume that's a pretty big drop-off. That's what we can all agree on.
Yeah.
Is that situation changing much depending on whether Harris plays or not?
It makes me less confident. I'm normally very confident in this Banjo Bowl because I've seen how much the crowds can bring to this matchup. Andrew Harris was a tale of two halves this weekend. He had a great first half, and he kind of disappeared in the second half. So maybe this explains that, this injury that happened at some point. But Keenan LaFrance should be the next guy in line. Their depth chart is not very deep at running back because they have had Andrew Harris. Keenan LaFrance has had one carry the past 2 weeks. He's had, other than week two when he had 10, not a whole lot going on. Some returns. So this guy really hasn't held the ball a lot this season. I think that's a big drop off because when it wasn't going for Nichols, you always knew there was something on the ground.
The thing about LaFrance is that for the most part in his career, he's been counted on as kind of that number two back, or he's certainly never been consistently in that feature back role. Whenever I think about LaFrance, though, I think about his playoff performance a couple of years ago when he ended up putting together that really outstanding game against the Eskimos in that playoff showdown. I think he went over 150 yards, and he was kind of the big story as the member of the Red Blacks as they went on to win the Grey Cup that year, had a pretty decent performance in the Grey Cup game against Calgary as well. So that always rings in my mind and say, okay, this guy is capable of putting up big games, and he's done it on a pretty big stage. But for the most part, he's been kind of that guy that you put in when your number one running back needs a rest, or you put him in specific packages and stuff like that. So I would be thinking about him. He'd be an interesting flex play for me just because of his price tag. We are talking about a guy who's going to come in at under $4,000 at $3,600 for his week 13 price. So LaFrance's price tag is interesting to me just because naturally, without Harris in the football game, he's going to touch the ball a little bit more. But I don't know how much I'd want to be counting on him putting up a ton of points. He could give you good value at 36, so as a flex, he'd be interesting. As one of your running backs, I don't know if he is as interesting or as smart a play. Look, the Bombers' offense is predicated on what Andrew Harris does, and especially with the struggles they've run into in recent weeks with their passing game, this is a huge blow. So I would, really, the only guy that I'd be interested in, and I'm curious as to where you guys would be here, the only guy I'd be interested in looking at because of his price tag is LaFrance. Without Harris, I am really wary on guys like Adams, on guys like Nichols, and some of the other playmaking players that we talk about on a more regular basis for Winnipeg. I would be very wary with Harris not in the lineup for Winnipeg.
And again, this is all hypothetical, nothing official on Andrew Harris and whether he'll play this week, but missing practice, it seems like he was dinged up. Had a pretty good workload against the Riders last week, although most of his productivity coming in the first half. This is the thing for me with Keenan LaFrance. I think you have to at least consider him because of the value that's there. And anytime you can get a starting running back at under $4,000, Keenan LaFrance, if he takes the Andrew Harris role and makes 3-4 catches, he's probably fulfilled that value right there. He's probably worth it at that spot. And then you're loading up at RB1 and getting other good receivers there. But in the grand scheme of things, if Andrew Harris doesn't play, that scares me for the Bombers. And I don't care where the game is played. They could be playing it in the parking lot behind my condo complex. I don't really care. It's not going to make a difference if they don't have the weapons and they can't get that offense rolling. The Riders are going to go in there and do what they did to the Bombers basically in the second half of last week. I was shocked with the way that Andrew Harris was able to churn up yards, over 100 rushing yards in the first half against the Riders. That doesn't happen very often. The Riders, a team that is allowing a second best 89, I'll call it around 90 rushing yards per game. You don't rush against them. And what Andrew Harris did was impressive. But with Harris, if Harris doesn't play, I just think it's that game could be a landslide. Matt Nichols is in trouble. Darvin Adams is in trouble. And that would make the Riders' defense very, very appealing to me this week.
Yeah, I do think you have to consider him as a play, though. LaFrance, because that price tag is nice. I wouldn't use him as a flex because I generally keep my flex for another receiver. But an RB2, if you're going to pick up a really expensive RB1, which I like to do from time to time, I think that's a reasonable play. Definitely a lot of value. Let's talk about where you could find value possibly in BC because Manny is out. So it's kind of been a value team so far, a team that we've either stayed away from or a team where, you know, you take a deep fly on a guy because he's cheap and it pays off. So where are you guys trying to find value with this BC team?
There's one name that comes to mind immediately when you ask about value on the BC Lions, and it's Kevin Elliott, because I don't know if you have been following too closely, but Elliott's actually been a fairly productive player since making his debut in early August. I mean, he's put up some pretty solid numbers, and he's got the one touchdown to this point. Kevin Elliott's the guy that jumps off the page to me. Now, his production has tailed off a little bit in recent times, had a really nice start to his season, but now all of a sudden, you take Matty Arsenault out of the conversation, and they're going to need to find somebody else and plug them into the conversation. So, yeah, definitely a guy like Elliott is who jumps off the page to me. In terms of his fantasy numbers, went over 10 points in his return, went over 18 points in his second game, but it's tailed off from then. But I think, Jeff, we're talking about a guy who might get worked a little bit more into the offense because you take a guy like Manny out, you need somebody else to step up. He's the guy who jumps off the page to me.
I like Kevin Elliott too. I like Ricky Collins, who's apparently back in practice this week, as we heard in the Fantasy Flash. Both talented receivers that are athletic and good enough to sort of fill those roles. And Travis Lule likes to spread the ball around. So, you know, he's not just going to give Brian Burnham the targets all day. Those guys, for their value, their costs, they're going to give you a little bit of a nice return there. So against that Nolthorpe defense, Ottawa's defense still giving up some yards through the air. Yeah, I could go along with that. But another guy that is worth talking about is if Chris Rainey isn't playing and they're putting Trayvon Van in, that interests me because last time Van played, they threw him the football and they got him the football in a bunch of different ways. If he fills into that Chris Rainey role, I like him as an RB2 this week. And in a matchup against the Red Blacks where there's going to be pressure and they're going to try to offset that with passes to the running back, Van's a good player. I like Trayvon Van there, and I think he's a solid sleeper pick this week at his cost at around $5,000 that you shouldn't discount what he could do in that offense.
What do you like better as an RB2, a $5,200 Trayvon Van or a $3,600 Keenan LaFrance?
I'm in the van. I'm driving that van to no end. I'm going on a road trip.
I have no follow-up to that ridiculous comment.
That's it.
I have nothing. That's it, eh? I was going to say I like LaFrance a little bit more, but I have nothing witty or ridiculous to say on top of that. But just because of the price tag and because he's going to get the touches, I still think LaFrance is the more interesting play to me.
That's fine. You're flying Air France in style and first class and okay. Champagne okay. And all that. Paris, La Paris. And I'm driving my white van that's in class across the country and enjoying the sights of Canada and not looking creepy at all. So
Hannah, you've got to put some sort of buzzer in there or something because those are terrible.
I got a booze soundtrack that I can put in there. Jeff's got enough puns for all of us. We don't have to come up with our own.
I think you've used that one before. I think you've had to use it before. Mostly for my comments, I'm guessing.
All right, well, we have to move on now because that's terrible. Let's go back to Ottawa because it seems like these two players have an inverse relationship. While one thrives, the other seems to struggle, and that's Greg Ellingson and Brad Sinopoli. The first couple weeks, it was easily Ellingson territory, and then Sinopoli took over. And then when you see Sinopoli go down, Ellingson's now back with three straight 20-point weeks. So would we say after 3 weeks, is Ellingson back now, and is it time to fade Sinopoli? Where are we feeling? Because these are both two high-priced guys. You generally can't have both, and you wouldn't want to because one goes off or the other on any given week.
Let me jump in here and give Pat credit because I know that Pat is way too humble to take credit for this himself, but we argued about a month ago about Ellingson, and Pat stood by him, and Pat said Greg Ellingson, I think he said he is the best receiver in the CFL.
Yes, he did.
He did say that. And in recent weeks, Ellingson has been a big, big part of the offense. Week 9, 22 points. Week 10, 20 points. You had the bye in week 11, and in week 12, he had 19.4 points. So pretty much three straight 20-point weeks. Red Blacks are obviously making him a priority in their offense. Somewhere along the way, that got lost with all the weapons they had there. Maybe teams were rolling a little extra attention Ellingson's way, and that was changing things, and they were going to Sinopoli a lot. But Ellingson has to be a big part of this offense for them to be successful, and lately he has been. He's been a top target there. The one thing I would say I would keep in mind is the touchdown streak or lack thereof, because Greg Ellingson has not scored a touchdown. Do we have the numbers here? When's the last time, Pat, you may have them in front of you. When's the last time Greg Ellingson scored a touchdown?
Week three against the Stampeders is the last time that he's only got one this year. Yeah.
Yeah. That's unbelievable to me. And because he has been a touchdown guy in his career, and he's a volume guy. Three straight games of eight or more catches. And I know you can argue that it's irrational to say, well, he hasn't scored a touchdown in eight straight weeks, so this has to be the week. And you can keep saying it and keep saying it, but the odds are that streak is going to continue. Well, sometimes you got to play this game based not off what has happened, but what you think is going to happen. And it just feels like when those floodgates open, Greg Ellingson is going to score some touchdowns.
It's pretty amazing how many points he's putting up without those touchdowns. Those are big yards.
Well, yeah.
Big yards, big catch totals.
Talk about streaks. He's gone over 100 yards in three consecutive games. And you throw a touchdown onto one of those games, and all of a sudden we're talking about him being a monster in terms of the fantasy points he's putting up. So I do think – I'm with you, Jeff. I do think that Ellingson is going to start to haul in some more red zone targets and maybe become a little bit more of an option once they're there. What's interesting to me, though, is the way this Hamilton offense has worked because this Ottawa offense has worked, rather – because we have seen Sinopoli have so many good weeks, and we have seen this be such an up-and-down thing. And I know that it's kind of been feast or famine in a lot of ways, but you know, Sinopoli's one of those guys that you can count on at the very least. What I like about Sinopoli is, in a PPR league like CFL Fantasy, is he is the possession guy. And, you know, you're looking for bigger gains and more of those playmaker-type plays from a guy like Ellingson. Same thing with Deontay Spencer. But with a guy like Sinopoli, you know that he's probably going to get targeted 5+ times. And we've seen him frequently haul in 7, 8, 9, sometimes double digits in terms of targets. So what makes Sinopoli so attractive, even though the yardage totals fluctuate and one week it's Ellingson going off and the other week it's Sinopoli, in a PPR league, I still think there's a lot of value in a guy like Sinopoli just because of that slot position he plays and how much Trevor Harris uses him in every situation. You're not afraid to go over the middle to him on a 20-yard gain on first down, but on second and six, you also know that, you know what, there's a pretty good chance he's going to find Sinopoli and a pretty good chance Sinopoli is going to find that first down. So even though Ellingson is starting to come on a little bit and he's been the guy of late, I still think there's plenty of reason to look at Sinopoli in your lineup.
But given the choice, you have been and still are an Ellingson guy, correct? He is the cheaper option.
Correct.
Here too.
Correct. Yeah, I'd still be looking at him in terms of the big plays, and Ellingson's in my lineup for week 13 right now. But I wanted to caution that if you are a Sinopoli fan, there's still reason to get him in your lineup.
Well, taking a look at the numbers here, Greg Ellingson is number two in the CFL right now in targets. You have Duke Williams way at the top with 101, and Greg Ellingson 96, and he's ahead of guys like Brandon Banks, Kamar Jordan, S.J. Green, Darrell Walker, guys that get a ton of targets. He's miles ahead of some of these guys. So yep. He's just not converting at the same rate. But you would think that's an anomaly, because in his career, Greg Ellingson has converted on a lot of his opportunities, and we're starting to see a bit of a regression to that mean and what we look for typically from Ellingson. So yeah, I think the logic is sound there. Whether it's a hunch, if you look at the stats, all arrows point to Greg Ellingson being a very good play this week in BC.
Let's stick in Ontario, because after last week, you kind of look at this Ticats team and you are salivating. All of the top point getters from the Ticats makes you want to stack your lineup with them. But how does the absence of Saunders affect this team going into this week?
You know, I still think that we're talking about plenty of good options in Hamilton, especially in the passing game. No Saunders, yeah, that's a big-time playmaker, and you take him out of the lineup, and that hurts, and yet you're still talking about a reliable guy, and he's been reliable for years in Luke Tasker, and you've got a big player like Brandon Banks, who ended up having a huge week against Toronto. And when you're going up against the second-worst pass defense in the CFL and the Argonauts, I still think that you can throw on them, and I think Mazzoli, Banks, Tasker are all very interesting plays in week 13 just because of the rematch and the matchup they have. Right now, even without Saunders, I still think all three of those guys, Banks, Tasker, and Mazzoli, are very intriguing plays and present the option of another week like they had last week, where three of those guys were the top 4 point producers in CFL fantasy. Jeff, I still think Hamilton presents some really attractive fantasy options this week.
Yeah, and the other piece of that there that you didn't mention was Alex Green. And you know what? I overlooked this. I have to admit, I overlooked Alex Green this year and the impact that he would have. This is a player that is putting up, it would seem, historic numbers when you look at the touchdown totals. 12 touchdowns in 10 games in his CFL career. 7-4 games this year, with 3 of his 4 games putting up multiple touchdowns, 2 touchdowns. That's absurd. And when I look at gaudy touchdown numbers like that, the analytical part of me looks at that and says, that's not sustainable. You shouldn't overpay for past results. That's the way I like to look at things. Just like with Greg Ellingson, I like to say maybe he's a little undervalued because the touchdowns are going to come there. But with Alex Green, it actually makes a ton of sense, because the Hamilton Tiger Cats are so good and so efficient offensively. They've got the top passing attack in the league. They've got the second best rushing attack in the league. Their offense is 21 yards per game ahead of the next closest team, the Mike Riley-led Edmonton Eskimos. They're just so productive on that side of the ball that, of course, it makes sense that Alex Green is getting touchdowns. If they're scoring 5 or 6 touchdowns a game, Alex Green is going to be good for a major. He's going to find the end zone, especially with the wide CFL field, the deep end zones, and some of the weapons the Ticats have there. So Alex Green, at his cost right now, he should be in our lineups every week.
Alex Green has been in my lineup every week. He's single-handedly saved my point totals certain weeks, including this one, because he went off so big. And at $7,500, I don't think that's a bad price either. $1,600 less than Harris, who won't be playing, but who is often a player that I look at. James Wilder Jr. over $1,000 more. Powell over $1,000 more. I like him at $7,500, and I'm probably going to continue to ride that Alex Green train until he gets up in that $8,500 range, because I think $7,500 for an RB1 is pretty good.
Yep, no argument here.
How sustainable is this? I mean, Pat, you've been watching this game for a very long time, and you've seen one of the most productive running backs this league has had in John Cornish out there in Calgary. But from a touchdown perspective, because a lot of it's luck, right? I mean, a lot of it is just getting those opportunities near the goal line, because you have Mazzoli, who's going to take his sneaks when they're down inside the one or the two. And then you've got a guy like Brandon Banks, who he can score a touchdown from anywhere on the field. So part of it is you can't really forecast how many carries Alex Green is going to get near the goal line. But is it possible that this just continues this way with this productive offense and Alex Green finishing these drives off?
Well, I think that the fact that he is being used as an option inside the 20, and especially when they get close to the goal line, that's promising to me. You take a look at his 2 touchdown runs in the game against Toronto last week. One was 6 yards, one was 19 yards. So he broke a big play to score a touchdown on one of his touchdowns, but one of them came on a 6-yard plunge. And it's the 6-yard plunge that gives me confidence that he can continue to be a reliable touchdown threat. Are we talking about multiple touchdowns per game from Alex Green? No, that's probably on a sustained basis, that's probably unrealistic. But for him to be a threat to score a major each game, I think it's there, because they do trust him once they get down near the goal line, because he is a powerful guy. We know that he can break big plays, but I like the fact that he can run between the tackles and he can go straight at you and still be able to get some yards. And that's exactly the type of guy you need once you're inside the 10. So I like Green. And, you know, I was debating between him and Powell in putting him in my lineup for week 13. It's hard to go against Green. And I know that, you know, I'm with you. The analytical part of me, I'm always thinking about sustainable and unsustainable. But we're also talking about a guy who's putting up solid yardage on top of that and going up against a Toronto team where he's probably going to get an opportunity to touch the ball quite a lot. So I think Green is one of your really attractive fantasy plays. And you're right, I did not put him in that mix when I was talking about the Ticats earlier. That's because I was talking about passing options. But yeah, I think Green is just as attractive as any of those 3 passing options for Hamilton. There's a lot of intrigue in this game from a Ticats perspective.
Okay, so we all have Alex Green in our lineups potentially this week. Quick question for you guys before we won't dwell on this topic much longer, but me personally, I love the Ticats again in that matchup with the Argos. You're looking at 4 players who had 27 or more points. Again, as Pat said and Hannah earlier, the 4 leaders in points last week all came from the Ticats. But there's something to be said for these home and home games, and especially for the Ticats going on the road Part of me is a little bit scared of jumping on all of those guys again, knowing that it's hard to beat a team twice in a row, and the Argos are just going to be ready, a little bit more prepared. They're going to throw a different game plan at them. Are you guys at all scared with that being a rematch? And how many Ticats do you have in your lineup, or do you forecast having in your lineup at this point?
It does scare me a little bit. You see those home and homes get split, you know, the majority of the time. As it stands right now, maximum one or two Ticats, which is more than I had last week, which I'm obviously regretting now. But I'm definitely taking a much closer look at them this week.
I've got two as it stands right now. I've got Green in for sure, and then just playing with a couple of different lineup options. I'm either going Tasker or Banks. One of those two will be in my lineup as well. So, you know, I do think that you can get some pretty solid production from these. And I know that the rematch is difficult, and it's tough to beat a team two games consecutively, but I do think Hamilton is the superior team here. I do think that they are the better group when you put them head-to-head. And if the Ticats play up to or close to their capability, I think they win this game, and I think that they can win this game by putting up some pretty solid points. So I know that it's tough to win in these Labor Day home and home sets, but I'm pretty confident that Hamilton's got the ability to take a sweep here. I think the Ticats are starting to groove at the right time. So I've got, as it stands right now, I've got two Ticats in my lineup.
Well, it's going to be a big week for Toronto. They've got two straight losses, one of those coming against Montreal, which I know they weren't happy about. Daron Carter not supposed to be in the lineup until next week. But it's kind of looking like they need to shake things up at this point. How do you think they should do that? Or do you think they're going to be trotting out the same lineup as they had last week?
Well, I think that there are a couple of angles here. I think this week they'll probably trot out the same lineup, and Mark Trestman likes his guys. They're going to try to get a win at home in the rematch. Mark Trestman felt, as he said after the game, that there were some good things the Argos did there. I didn't really see it. I saw a team that was edged by more than 300 yards, a gap of net yards between the two teams. The Ticats had nearly 10 minutes more of possession. It's just a couple turnovers that really kept the Argos hanging around. But the thing with Toronto that you have to sort of keep in mind is that under Mark Trestman, the Argos have sort of won some of these games when their backs are against the wall. They did it last year when they went out and they beat the Eskimos in that game at BMO Field where James Wilder went off. That was sort of a turning point of their season. And they've done it a couple of times this year when they needed a win really badly. Example, that game against Ottawa when they had the huge comeback in the second half. They've pulled it off. So this is sort of a do-or-die situation for them, and I wouldn't be surprised if that brings the most out of them. From a fantasy standpoint, I have a tough time trusting anyone this week. James Wilder Jr. got the ball in the first half. I had him last week. He was my lock, and I thought he's on his way to a pretty good game. Second half, they didn't use him. Ticats struggling run defense, couldn't get him the ball. So I'm a little wary of that situation without Daron Carter. McLeod Bethel-Thompson completing under 50% of his passes last week. Ticats defense being as good as it is, I think they need to make a shuffle going into the bye week. And if they lose this week, I think that's going to happen. They got the bye in week 14 before taking on the Riders.
What is really interesting from a fantasy standpoint from the Argos, I am fascinated on James Franklin and what he can give you from a value standpoint, even if he doesn't see the majority of snaps. And I wonder
Get out of here.
Well, just let me finish. I'm certainly not putting him in my lineup for week 13, but I am really interested in the way this quarterback situation starts to evolve, because if Bethel-Thompson struggles again and if the Argos offense has issues, I think that we see more of Franklin in this game against Hamilton. And going into the bye, I think there's a pretty good chance that they would, if Bethel-Thompson struggles again in this Labor Day rematch, that they go back to Franklin as their starting quarterback. And all of a sudden, then he becomes a really interesting fantasy play, because we do know that that they have not been afraid to use him in short yardage. Now, I do think if he's the starter, that comes down a little bit. But he's got nine touchdowns so far this year on the ground. Like, he has given you points because he has been their short yardage guy. So he is a fascinating player to me. And if Bethel Thompson continues to struggle, all of a sudden he pops up on my radar once again. I'm very surprised, Jeff, that you said get out of here to me bringing up Franklin, because you go back 2 months ago and you were wearing your Franklin jersey and had his name tattooed on your ankle. So I'm very confused as to where you've gone on your boy.
No. I'm a big James Franklin fan. I thought you were going to fire off the hot take of the century and say say you would approve of starting a quarterback who's not a starter. I thought you were going to say start James Franklin off the bench. That's where you were going with it. That would have been, it's like, start Chris Trevler this week. Well, he's not starting. He's got the bright future, and we're going to see where they stand with him and where Tressman stands with him soon if McLeod Bethel Thompson continues to struggle, because Tressman made the switch on the premise that he wanted to give both quarterbacks a chance. And, you know, they've each had four starts at this point, and neither of them has done anything to pull away. McLeod Bethel Thompson had the crazy comeback win over the Red Blacks, but outside of that, he hasn't really done anything to separate from that. And if he struggles again against the Ticats, albeit a tough defense, I think it should be interesting to see what he does there. So, yeah, Franklin playing would definitely be interesting in that offense, especially with Daron Carter coming back. Could really open some things up.
Yeah, it's a massive week for Toronto, because if they drop this, all of a sudden you find yourself tied with the Montreal Alouettes, and that's not something any of these teams would have wanted to say a couple weeks ago. And I think another team feeling that pressure is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They're below 500. BC has two games in hand. You never know, they could sneak up on them pretty quickly. So is a quarterback change something that they should be looking at as well? Nichols struggling as of late. Chris Streveler's just sitting there waiting. Is he a guy you look to shortly, especially if they are to lose this upcoming game?
Whew. This is one of the stories that I have been most interested in watching over the last couple of weeks, because we haven't seen great performances from Matt Nichols. The Bombers, who looked like they had a really good chance of being that number two team in the West Division, all of a sudden they've fallen off. Their second halves have really killed them of late in their inability to finish. And now I think it's a valid conversation to have. Who's the best bet at starting quarterback? Do you put your money on Chris Streveler and put him back in and give him an opportunity? Or do you stick with your tried and true and Matt Nichols, who in so many ways has been the most important player that has led this turnaround for Winnipeg over the last 2.5 years. But if this continues and they're going up against the tough Saskatchewan team again, and we talked about this, Jeff, you know, this Riders team and their defensive unit looks like they could have a field day if there's no Harris for Winnipeg. If Nichols and the Bombers struggle again, I wonder if Mike O'Shea doesn't pull the trigger, whether it be in-game or coming out of this game, and maybe make the switch back to Streveler. This is one of the most interesting stories to watch as we go down the stretch drive.
I have, at this point, given up on Matt Nichols as a possible fantasy starter in my lineup, no matter how cheap he gets, and possibly even no matter the opponent. And he's struggling out there, and that offense is struggling. Nichols not hitting the 300-yard mark this season. He doesn't run much. He's not going to get goal line carries. I just don't see any upside there. On the field, I think Strevler's an interesting prospect. I don't know if I'm ready to put those expectations on him and that pressure on him of being a starter. I think it's too early, and he hasn't shown me quite yet that he's franchise quarterback material, though there are some good traits there. I think if the Bombers really want to have a chance to win this game against the Riders, they actually need to start playing Streveler in some packages. And they need to throw a different look at the Riders and get a guy that can run around. And with Strevler's athleticism, strong arm, all of those things, he could really, really pose a threat to the Riders and give them a bit of a fresh look. So that's what I would be doing. But from a fantasy perspective, I wouldn't be going with either of those guys.
I will say this. If Chris Streveler is the starter in the next few weeks, I will put him in my lineup.
Sure.
I think he'll go straight in because I liked him when he was playing before. Nichols came back a little bit earlier than expected. I was looking to ride that train a little bit longer. As soon as he's back in that starting role, he will be in my lineup.
He's got to run the ball. He's got to run the ball. If he's running the football the way that he can, yeah, he's a great fantasy option. If he becomes the starter, we will make that clear, of course, as we speak in hypotheticals here.
Great debate for this week 13. I will be hosting you guys head-to-head. And this week's question is, with Jordan and Rodgers out, who is the better fantasy fill-in? Is it Reggie Bagleton or Bryant Mitchell? Jeff, which side are you taking in this one?
Hey, we missed the coin flip.
We're going to flip the coin.
Right. I like Bryant Mitchell in Edmonton. I feel like we need really cool, like, walk-up intro music and an announcer in this corner with a perfect 3-0 record so far. I don't think that's me. I'm not 3-0. Mostly
so.
Because Hannah and Pat make me lose every time when they're officiating. But a whole lot of agendas around here, I think.
Jeff is so keen on making my job harder. Add sound effects here. Add music there.
Add sound effects here. Hannah, you're editing the podcast.
Come on, Jeff.
I'll even do the voiceover. I got a booming deep voice. I can do it.
All right. Well, maybe week 14. Jeff, you ready for the coin flip?
I'm ready for the coin flip. Am I calling it?
All right, call it in the air.
All right. Heads.
It's heads. You gonna take it or you gonna pass it off?
You know what? I'm gonna defer. I want Pat to go first. I'm gonna sit here and enjoy his argument.
All right, Pat.
I feel comfortable kicking it off. You can't rattle me whether you're trying to call a timeout before I make my game-winning kick or whether you're trying to make me go first. I am unflappable on the great debate. Okay.
There's no icing Pat Steinberg.
In 3, 2, and 1. I want to preface our great debate with, I think both options are great. I'm a big Bryant Mitchell fan, the same way I know Creever is a big fan of Bagleton. But I'm going with Calgary's Bagleton. No Kamar Jordan, no Eric Rogers for a few weeks. This is a player that when he's been in the lineup, in his 4 games that he's played this year, he has been a pretty productive player, and I think that continues. I think Bo Levi will work him into the lineup, and I think that he will get some touches. I think Reggie Bagleton is a very good play in week number 13 because he'll touch the ball.
Oh, 30 seconds on the dot. I like it. Jeff, take your competitive advantage and it's your turn.
I kind of want to go over just to see what happens. It's never happened before.
No, we cut you off. I'm going to cut off the audio and you only get the arguments that happen.
So it'll just be dead air then after. You'll cut me off and it'll be nothing.
Cuts right back to me.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't want that.
Don't do that.
Show me. Can I see the clock?
Sure. Okay. You ready?
Great. Yes. Bryant Mitchell is one of the more talented receivers when we're talking about pure skill and ability in the CFL. This is a player that is averaging 16.2 yards per catch this year. He's over 15 in his career, and he's been productive every time he's been on the field. Did you see him against the Montreal Alouettes a few weeks ago? He was the best receiver on the field. I thought that slot back position from Duke Williams was going to be his. Injuries got in his way. Duke became a star. But Bryant Mitchell, if he gets the chance, look out!
Oh, he got those last couple
words. I had to really rush that look out. That was aggressive.
It was. And I actually came into this less biased than I normally am. And Jeff, I got to give this one to you.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it.
It's because I'm sitting in front of you yelling at you?
No, because normally that makes it easier to pick against you.
Wow.
sorry, Pat. Jeff's got my pick this week.
Looking at my face, though, I looked very sure of myself. And that whole thing.
Confident as you stared intently at the clock to make sure you got under 30 seconds.
Congratulations, Jeff.
Thank you. I'm on a roll. I'll take it.
All right. Let's get to the 3-minute warning because we got to get out of here.
3-minute warning now, or is it? It is the warning.
I got a fantasy draft to do for the NFL. Let's start with our money picks. Pat, who is your money pick this week?
I am going with Kevin Elliott. We talked about him a little bit earlier. BC receiver. He's under $3,500. And since debuting this season in 4 games, he's gone over double digits in fantasy points twice. Has tailed off the last 2 weeks a little bit. But with Manny Arsenault out, I think Kevin Elliott becomes a very attractive option. And for $3,500, the price is right. So he is my money pick for week 13.
I'm going to go with, this is kind of funny because I just argued against him, but my money pick is Reginald Begelton. Yeah, I'm with you, Pat, on that.
I'm taking your great debate
you
win
can't
away
take it
from
back.
You.
That just
my
means
goodness.
I did a great job of debating.
Wow.
It's not, I love Bryant Mitchell. He just costs a little bit more, so he can't be a money pick. I can't pick him. He's not an option.
That's true.
I got to play by the rules. But Pat convinced me with his stellar argument about Mr. Begelton. The best name in the CFL and the best lock of the week for week 13. Reggie Begelton is going to step into that role with Eric Rogers and Kamar Jordan being out. This is a very capable receiver who's had time to learn the offense, time to get confident. We've seen it before in Calgary. Kamar Jordan was on the practice roster and sat for a while and waited for his chance and eventually became a star. I think Reggie Begelton's got that same ability. So when he's in the starting lineup, becoming a receiver that is leaned on, a sort of B, 1A, 1B situation with DeVaris Daniels, I think he's going to put up big numbers this week.
All right. I'm picking a guy who has been high on Jeff's list for a while here, and that's Kenbrell Tompkins. He's been a receiver on the rise in Winnipeg. A little bit boom or bust. A bit risky at $2,500, but very cheap. Last week, he pulled out 10 points in a very unfriendly territory. So I'm looking forward to see what he can do in front of that home crowd, even though we are a little bit wary of those Winnipeg options at the time being. So, with that said, let's move on to our locks of the week. Jeff, who is definitely in your lineup this week?
So I'm going to throw a curveball at everyone here, and I'm going to pick a defense, the first defense of the year. I think that deserves some music. No, just kidding. I'm trying to add in every opportunity for Hannah to do more work and make more sound effects. I like the Riders' defense this week. That is a very talented group, and they've taken another step. You look at additions like Matt Elam coming from the NFL, a former NFL first-round pick, Nick Marshall, the players that are there. Lucius Purifoy, how that guy was on free agency a few weeks ago, should be a crime because he is an incredible playmaker all over the field. Chris Jones has guys that can fly, and in a matchup against the vulnerable Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I really like that unit. If you pay up for the Riders' defense, they will make it worth it for you.
I'm going with DeVaris Daniels for the Calgary Stampeders. No Kamar Jordan, no Eric Rogers. Right now, DeVaris Daniels is the number one receiver for the Stampeders going up against the Eskimos, and he had a good game against the Esks on Labor Day. I think DeVaris Daniels is an attractive play each and every week, and the price is right at $62.50 for a number one receiver. I don't know if you're getting much better value than that right now. DeVaris Daniels in my lineup, no doubt about it. He's the lock of the week.
I'm thinking on the same wavelength as Pat here. I'm going Duke Williams. If Darrell Walker is in fact out this week, he becomes that number one option for Mike Riley. I would pick him if Darrell was still in, but with him out, he becomes too tempting. He put up 24 points last week against a tough defense. I think he can do that and more again this week.
All right, guys, make sure to get your lineups in at cflfantasy.tsn.ca. Get them in for the entire week. Make sure that you're continuing to fight for that $10,000 end-of-season prize. But get your lineups in for the Saturday triple play, an extra $500 on the line, and it's taking only the three games on Saturday into account. If you end up as the top player in those three games, then you'll win an extra $500. cflfantasy.tsn.ca. What's not to love about a Saturday triple play in week 13? Hannah Nordman's on Twitter at Hannah Nordman. Jeff Creever at Jeff Creever. At HL Nordman for Hannah at Jeff Creever. And then I'm at Fan960 Steinberg. Thank you for being along with us. It's been a very fun week 13 edition of the CFL Fantasy Podcast. Don't forget the Waggle with Davis and James. And don't forget CFL Pick'em each and every week. You can win some extra cash in that regard as well. We'll talk to you in week 14. We'll see how the Labor Day rematches end up going, and we'll see who comes out on top in our Saturday triple play. Enjoy week 13. It's been the CFL Fantasy Podcast.